It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast.
This week, I had the incredible honor of speaking with Holly Dunn, the sole survivor of the railroad killer. Holly did not let her attack define her, and she's become a vessel of hope for fellow survivors. Holly is the co-founder and spokesperson for Holly's House, a child and adult advocacy center for victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. She has a firsthand understanding of what it means to heal from trauma. That's why Holly's House works to ensure that victims are given a safe and positive space to physically and emotionally heal. The organization also works to promote justice, giving crime victims the confidence and comfort needed to report a crime. Through education and awareness, Holly's House continuously works to prevent violence and create a safer community. Christine Quartz is the executive director of Holly's House. Today, she joins me to discuss how the foundation works, the care it offers for victims, and how listeners can get involved. Christine Quartz, executive director of Holly's House, we're so grateful to have you here today. Share with us about the foundation and the purpose and your role there as executive director.
Yes. So Holly's House is a non-residential child and adult victims advocacy center, and we work to provide support to survivors of abuse and their families, to promote justice by being the neutral home of an investigation, and to prevent abuse before it begins by providing a body safety curricula in the schools. And I'm just honored to be part of this work, and obviously honored to be part of recovery stories for many, many survivors.
Yeah. We had the honor of hearing Holly Dunn's story and her sharing her time with us. And what happened to her back in 1997 was unspeakable, and she has lived such a legacy since then of life and contributing selflessly to others and helping others. Can you share about the foundation, the initial stages, and when Holly's House was launched, the history?
Yes. So Holly's House is now 15 years old, and 15 years ago, Holly Dunn Pendleton was asked by one of the detectives here in the Evansville Police Department who investigate sex crimes to consider joining up with him and joining forces to create a neutral atmosphere where victims could come forward without fear and provide trauma-informed care. And Holly resoundingly said yes to that and began what is now Holly's House. And of course, there were many steps in founding Holly's House, right? They needed to find a building, they needed to get partnerships together, and ultimately that is what built the partnerships that allow us to continue serving survivors today. So partnerships between law enforcement, the local prosecutor's office, victims assistance. We also partner with therapists to provide on-site therapy treatments. We work with the local clothing and shelters, right, to provide help if a child needs to move out of the home due to some type of abuse. There's even a provider of cribs, and we have different babysitting sources that we refer people to when they need them. And of course, we also do that in many languages. We try to meet our survivors where they are and help them to get on both the path towards justice and the path towards healing.
Can you share, of course, protecting anonymity, but are there a few stories that you could share with us about how Holly's House has helped change lives and lead to that restoration?
Absolutely. So we work with both adult and child survivors, and some of the adult survivors have been victims of both sexual assault and domestic violence, and We recently had someone come back around Christmas and talk to us about their survivorship. And they came to Holly's house 10 years ago in the middle of a domestic violence issue. And obviously that had been going on for years before they had the courage to report. But once they did, they followed through and they relocated, they got training. Now that woman is teaching and she has a long-term relationship and a family. And she said she could never have imagined that without Holly's house. And we are just so grateful again that we get to be a part of that healing story.
And something that Holly mentioned stuck with me, which was she talked about the interviews that law enforcement conducted with her at the time. And she talked about how now Holly's house provides or exists as a forum for those kind of interviews to take place with victims. Can you share about what that looks like for children and adults?
Absolutely. You know, our goal is really to be a neutral and welcoming site for all survivors. So the decor in Holly's house is meant to be bright and cheerful and set people at ease. Our team is trauma informed and very well trained in protocols for victims advocacy and then for child forensic interviewing as well. And we work through both of those jobs of making people feel comfortable and advocating for them, and at the same time, providing a neutral and dependable forensic interview based on evidence-based practices that are set out nationally. And we often go to court to defend those protocols and defend the work. And we're grateful to be able to be in a place where we can do that. Again, we're a neutral organization, so we are just supporting the survivors, and we allow all parts of the investigation, including prosecution, law enforcement, child welfare services, to come in and to work in their roles in the investigation while we work to protect the child and make sure that the child's best interest is how we move forward.
Tell us about a typical day and, you know, what things take up the time and the energies and the resources of Holly's house? What would a typical day look like for the staff there?
Sure. Well, in most days we have meetings on the phone with what we call our multidisciplinary team, where we get a phone call from child welfare or from law enforcement that says there's a case pending and they want to talk through it with us and talk through the process. Sometimes we get therapists on that call, as well as medical providers, to talk through what might be happening in that case and what other evidence or other people need to be involved in the investigation. And then we will book time here in the center for that client to come in. And then our victims advocates really get going and they contact the survivor or the non-offending caregiver if the survivor is a child, and talk to them about what to expect when they come here, talk to them about what they might say to a child and what they shouldn't say to a child, kind of walk through that information and get them ready to be here. And then, you know, normally throughout the course of the day, we have four or five survivors that we're notified of, and we meet with them in that day if possible. Sometimes the survivors will come to us because they've already reported medically. So they've shown up in the emergency room and they are, you know, survivors of domestic violence. They might have a broken jaw or they have already been seen for sexual assault in the emergency room. And then they come to us. And we recognize that every person who comes to us is dealing with some type of trauma. And not just the survivor, right, but the family that's supporting them as well, because especially in child cases, 94% of alleged perpetrators are family members or close family friends. And that is just devastating to the family when this kind of information comes out. And yet the family is the one key to resiliency for these children. So we really want to make sure as they come into the center that we walk through that. We do a lot of psychoeducation with family members to talk to them about what they're going through, but also how they can be supportive and the number one resiliency factor for that child to get them on the healing path. We do some assessments, some trauma assessments, and we make referrals for trauma treatment. And we have in-house therapists that meet with the family. We usually do all of that conversing with a parent and a victim's advocate while the child is in a forensic interview with a certified forensic interviewer. And then when that interview is complete, all of the multidisciplinary team members who have worked on the investigation and heard the interview from a separate room come together and talk about what they know and what are the next steps in the investigation. And then they meet with the non-offending caregiver, if it's a child, and talk to them about what those next steps are. And then if the survivor is an adult, then the law enforcement conducts the interview in a safe place and it's recorded so that everyone feels comfortable and knows what's happening there and that they're not alone. Often one of our advocates sits with that adult through the law enforcement interview so that they feel comfortable. And of course, all of our clients go through a referral review where we talk to them about their needs. And so if grandma is the one that has custody right now and she has never had custody of that child before, she might need a bed. She might need clothing. She might need some food. She may work and she may need childcare the next day. And so we try to help connect with all of those resources in one place so that when they walk out of this building, they know they have what they need for their next steps.
We're going to take a quick break. More from our guest after this.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
One question I really liked that's on your website in the FAQ section is, how does Holly's House differ from the previous setup or system? How have things changed because of Holly's House?
Absolutely. Well, so prior to this, children were interviewed either in the child welfare office or downtown in the police department in the witness room. And adults, adult survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence were interviewed downtown in the police department. And that's, you know, the same place that perpetrators come in and they see people in handcuffs. And we know that victims of this type of intimate abuse are blaming themselves and they feel very ashamed. And that, you know, environment only reinforces the fact that they think they did something wrong to be in this situation. And we want to remove all guilt and shame. And that's exactly what the existence of Holly's House does, is say, we want to meet you where you are. We want you to know that you are loved, that this is not your fault. You didn't do anything to be victimized like this, and you can recover.
What are challenges that you are facing now?
You know, I think over the last 15 years, Holly's House has grown and learned more about what trauma-informed care is, as you know, the U.S. has learned more about that. I think the challenges that we see now are just the number of reports. We've been receiving a steady increase of reports, especially child abuse reports, over the last 3 years. And then we also know that there's a huge increase in the number of online solicitations. So a lot of digital evidence is being presented. In almost every case, we have some type of digital evidence. And then 1 in 5 children will be solicited online before they turn 18. And our work with the FBI here at Holly's House, we know that that's probably increasing in this next year to 1 in 4 children will be solicited online. Those things are challenging because that's not the traditional route for perpetration of children. And when a child is pursued by a perpetrator who is in their life, right, they see them maybe once weekly or twice weekly, and the relationship is built in a long period of time through grooming. But when a child is perpetrated online and victimized online, that perpetrator has almost endless access to the child. And that allows a perpetrator to build relationship and groom a child in a very short period of time, sometimes in a matter of hours. And of course, then that child is just as vulnerable. And those victimizations online are also incredibly heinous and very, very traumatic as well. And we see time after time children falling into that trap of being groomed and then submitting online photos or videos or images, and then even being extorted, which is called sextortion.
What are goals for the house? What's next for you?
So one of our goals is to make sure that we're providing the proper treatment for our survivors and making sure that they're on their healing paths. One of the problems that everyone in the United States is facing is this mental health crisis of not enough mental health providers and many, many people who are needing treatment. And we see our victims as priorities, right? And they definitely need to be able to walk through their trauma and heal. So one of the new things that we're doing is providing a new type of treatment called child and family traumatic stress intervention for children and their families to walk through regulatory tools and communication tools. And we're very excited. We're working with Yale University School of Medicine on that treatment and have begun providing that treatment that reduces PTSD scores for children by 73% and PTSD scores for adults by 62%. So we're really pushing ourselves to find new treatments and make sure that there's access for our survivors, because you don't have to live in the shadow of that trauma forever. And Holly is such a great purveyor of that information and such a wonderful victims advocate.
Totally. So just, we're going to close with this, which is, how can people get involved? How can they contact you? And are there any other resources that you would like to highlight today?
Absolutely. You know, people can get involved with Holly's House by reaching out on our website. There's a contact form at hollyshouse.org. We're a nonprofit, so we're looking for people to engage and provide support, whether that's through in-kind donations or volunteering or just talking about. Become a friend of ours on Facebook and put our posts out so that people see we put a lot of education regarding survivorship on our website and on our social media platforms. We love for people to get that out. And then we also want people to understand that listening is one of the most important parts you can play whenever you learn that someone has been abused. And so we have three key steps that we want everyone to follow if they hear that someone is abused, and that is to listen and then support. And then report that abuse, especially if it's a child. You know, in the state of Indiana, every adult is a mandated reporter. And in most states, that's the case as well. So we would love for people to understand that and get those reports in so that we can begin the justice and healing processes.
Christine Quartz, Holly's House Executive Director, we are so grateful to you for your time today and for obviously the work that you do tirelessly all day in and out. It's an honor to have met Holly Dunn virtually through this podcast, and it's a true honor to have met you today. We're grateful for your tireless advocacy and efforts. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity.
To hear more stories like this, you can listen to our past episodes on the Fox True Crime Podcast. Go to foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts to listen and subscribe. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. If you have a story or topic you want to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at truecrimepodcast@fox.com.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.